Turn, please, with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing tonight thinking about Abraham, but I want to read from verse 1 of the chapter. We can gather the context a bit more clearly. The Lord starts off for us with a definition of what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Lord bless His word. Let's please bow in prayer. Lord, we ask tonight that we would be settled and still as we have the Word of God open. Lord, we need our hearts opened. We need light, insight. We need to be taught by the Spirit of God. And Lord, we ask this evening that we would have help. I pray tonight for the power of the Spirit of God to help me to speak Thy Word faithfully, clearly, plainly, so that no one would misunderstand. And I pray that each one here would have the grace to hear. Lord, open hearts that are closed, we pray. Give light into the soul. Dear Lord, hear this, our prayer, as we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. From verses 8, where it starts off, by faith Abraham, really the subject of what we want to talk about here tonight, continuing on in this idea of the obedience that faith produces. When you look at any of these heroes of faith, as we could call them, each one of them is marked by obedience. How? Well, because you cannot have someone of faith that is not walking in obedience with the Savior. The two things go hand in hand. But as we showed you last Lord's Day about Noah, there was something that stood out about his faith that was maybe a little bit distinct from a man like Abraham or some of the others. And in Noah's case, he was asked to do something that was so beyond the comprehension of himself and of society in general. And so it was really faith that was operating against all reasonableness in a human sense. Of course, nothing that God asks or commands His people to do is any way unreasonable. It is most definitely reasonable. And so much so that we are commanded in the book of Romans that we are to give that which is reasonable service unto God, presenting our bodies a sacrifice unto Him. And that's what all of these men and women did who are cited for us so clearly in this chapter. They were reasonable people, and they gave of their lives, and they devoted themselves. And the faith that they had was not a faith that was complicated. And I want to emphasize that to you. It wasn't some faith that was supernatural from their standpoint, but it was very simple faith. And the simple faith is what lifted it to be profound, because they obeyed the Lord. Mrs. McClellan was reminding me just before the service about that lovely little Sunday school chorus that we have sung before, and it's such a clear definition of what faith is. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. And someone else has said, well, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And if we would have that type of childlike faith as we approach the situations of life, we would save ourselves a whole heap of trouble if we would just come and submit ourselves in that childlike faith. That's what Abraham had. That's what he possessed. But as I mentioned this morning, we were thinking in the first place of where did that faith commence? Where did Abraham get this from? Did he imagine it? Did he conjure it from his own mind or heart? Did he go no deeper than the pool of his own shallow resources to find this faith? No, he didn't go there. Was he taught it by an education or a catechetical structure? No, he didn't learn it there. And it wasn't either by his own idea, well, I will do this in order to please God, and I will determine that I will believe in God, and I will present my own righteousness before Him, and that will be my ticket in. No, it wasn't that. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we are all dead in trespasses and in sins from our nature being born of Adam's race. So none of those things would work. It was not of those ways. We want to think again tonight, following through and continuing in that subject line about the obedience that faith produces. And we want to ask ourselves the question, is that obedience being produced in our life by faith? Is that obedience what we can examine and see in the life of this man? And for that example, the others we have already talked about, do we see the kernel of that? Do we see it blossoming in our own souls? Because if it's not there, then we need to ask some hard questions. If it's not there, we need to say, Lord, why is it not there? I need to pray that it will be germinated and be found in me. If I want to know God, if I want to be in a relationship with the Lord, I must have this faith, this grace of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a gift that God gives. It is not something that we will take ourselves. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot bring this up on our own. We cannot do it by our own reasoning and our own power. I want us to think and move on to the next point. And think about the obedience that faith produces. What is the evidence of its continuation? Because it's one thing for us to obtain that from the Lord and see where it starts, where the beginning point is. But if it only ever is at the beginning point and it never continues or progresses, then we are very, very limited. But not so as we look at this man's life. Because when we think about Abraham and the continuation of his faith, I believe you will see it first of all here in his prompt obedience to the command of God. Please look back at Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. He obeyed and he went out. The meaning here is carried in the original that while the word was still ringing in his ears, while that word was still echoing in his very hearing, it was an acknowledgement, I will go. In fact, he all got up and went. Now we know and understand that in the practicality of things, there would have been preparation to make. If you're going to take up all your belongings and your possessions and the herds or flocks that they would have had, this was not something you could do overnight. And so let's not misunderstand. It would have taken some time for them to make preparations and to begin for this life-changing, lifelong journey. It was something that was necessary. But the point is that we're given here is that on the very sound of the commandment, Abraham agreed and he went forth. His spirit was engaged in obedience. And my friend, I suggest to you that that is the very evidence of the continuation of our obedience in the Lord. It's how we have received the commandment and we do not begin to question the Lord. We do not begin to put up doubts in our minds. Now, the Lord gives us for every shining example like this, we have several others in the Bible which help us to see. And I mentioned last Lord's Day, Moses was one of them, because you will remember the story that when he was called of God to go before Pharaoh, he began to make excuses, all kinds of them. One of the main ones was that, well, he's not articulate. He's slow of speech. He has some impediment that he cannot communicate properly. So he reasons, how can I possibly communicate to Pharaoh about releasing the people of God when I can't even talk properly myself? And the Lord reminds Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who has made the tongue? Who made you? In other words, how dare you question what I have commanded you to do and think of your own limitations because of my sovereign power both in creating you and redeeming you and commissioning you for a task? Oh, believer tonight, what does the Lord require of us? He requires prompt obedience to His Word. He doesn't want us to be tardy or backward or putting forth doubts or reasons or excuses as to why we cannot fulfill what the Lord has bid us to do. True faith is a gift from God. And there is no doubt that it starts with Him. But what is that evidence that it is real? That it is genuine faith? That it has the lasting property of being genuine? What is the evidence? Immediate action. And if the immediate action, you see, well, I'm spinning my wheels and I cannot seem to accomplish what God has commanded me to do, my friends, it's in the heart where it begins. And it will be the acknowledgement and the willingness to say, Lord, send me anywhere. I will go. I will do. And the Lord, note this, He takes our will for the deed. He takes what we acknowledge and submit ourselves to as if the thing was already done. We will see that as we look further into the life of Abraham when he offered up Isaac. You know that as he held the knife over his only begotten son, the son of the promise, And when God called to him and halted him from following through with plunging that knife into his son, that knife was already in Isaac. Abraham had already committed him to the Lord. And that's why God stopped him. And my friend, you see, the Lord requires of us our full obedience, our prompt obedience to His Word. The Lord Jesus illustrates this kind of obedience for us. The Gospel of Luke, let me read this to you. Verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. A noble word. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, on the surface, when we read that, it seems rather puzzling. How could the Lord be so unfeeling in a case like that? Here was a man who we assume that his father was dead and he has to go and bury his very family. How could it be the Lord would have said that to this man? My friend, there's more to this story, I believe, than just on the surface. This man was really saying, I believe, that my father is elderly, perhaps near death, and I need time. But behind that even, because with the death of a father, there would have been an inheritance. And I believe that we see something beyond what those basic words there are on the surface. And so the man was coming to the Lord and saying, yes, I am willing to do what you want and to go where you want, but the timing. It's not going to be on your time, it's going to be on my time. I have some things that I must take care of. And the man's heart was being revealed, I believe. That here he's thinking about his family issues and thinking about his father and perhaps about the inheritance and things that had to be settled. And all of these things were being put forward before answering the call of God and doing what the Lord had said was more urgent, more immediate. And so therefore the Savior is saying, the prompt obedience to my word, that is what is essential in this matter. My friends, that is what the Lord requires of us. Because if we delay in obeying the Lord, you know what that is? It is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience to the things of God. It was not so here with Abram, for upon hearing the command, he began that immediate preparation for a major life redirection. I wonder, friends, tonight, has there been some delay in fulfilling, doing, heeding what the Lord has commanded you to do? Now, it might be something completely different from one person to another person, but the Holy Spirit can touch your heart right now and you know what He's referring to. Maybe there's been something that you've been putting up in front of the Lord, answering the call of God. Maybe young person, young man, young woman, maybe there's been something where you felt the Lord pulling at your heart and drawing you out and requiring of you to leave all and forsake everything and follow Him in full-time service. Maybe. But you're saying, I've got some things to do yet. I've got a life yet to live. I have some things that I want to accomplish. But that delayed obedience actually turns into disobedience. And so for Abram, the evidence that his faith was genuine, that it was continuing faith, was his prompt obedience to God's word. But there's something further. I believe it was his unquestioning obedience. He did not put up any rationale as to why this whole thing doesn't seem to work. In other words, Lord, why don't you just make of me a great nation here? I mean, you could turn Ur of the Chaldees, you could turn that upside down, you could use my witness here, and then I wouldn't have to leave my family and home. There could have been many reasonings that were legitimate in the mind of Abram that he would have brought before God. But here's the thing. There is none of that. And it's staggering to us when we think about the action of this man of God. And how he did not question, he did not doubt, he did not delay in following through with the Lord. Let's read this verse again. After by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he was going. Now that's another dimension to the whole thing, isn't it? Here is a man who responds to the call of God and did not put forward the human reasonings that we would sense very natural. I want you to go out, God says to Abraham. Okay, we're ready to go. We'll get packed up. Where are we going? Never mind that. Just go. Really? How many of us would stand before the Lord and respond in a way of this magnitude and this nature of that upheaval and not even know an idea of what we're stepping out into? My friend, that is exactly what faith is. And that's what faith requires. And that's how the Lord leads His people along. And that's the evidence of true faith when we step forward only one step at a time. And you don't know what the second step is. Until first of all, you've taken the first one. And the Lord wants to have from us an unquestioning obedience to His Word. But there's something that follows on from that. It was a patient obedience. Waiting is not an easy thing to do. Waiting when you don't know is not an easy thing to do. Sometimes we find ourselves able to wait for a short time. But that waiting is not acceptable with the Lord. Because that's not His timing. And when the Lord requires of His people and wants us to have that patience where we trust in Him, the psalmist said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And that requirement for us is the true life of peace with God. It's the true heart of submission and surrender before Him. My friends, it is not an easy thing to do. And you have proved it in your own heart, as I have in mine. We want things done urgently. We want things by our program. Okay, if we are going to go, then we have to know what's in front of us. And almost we would say, if I don't know, I'm not going. If I don't have this thing fully mapped out, some of us may be more controlling than others when we look at the patterns of our life or how we organize things and we want things done. When it comes to this, we must take our hands back. We must say, Lord, Your timing is perfect. I've trusted You with my eternal soul. I have trusted You with my eternal destiny. But now I need to trust You with the here and now, the things I cannot see in the future. And friend, that might come right down to you in your own personal life of some health problem. And you've been crying to the Lord for deliverance and for help. And deliverance and help does not seem to come, certainly not in the speed or timing that you would like. And you're wondering, is God angry with me? Does the Lord look in my heart and life and see something that is offensive to Him and He's pushing me aside or He's not putting me forward? Yes, those thoughts can come into our minds. Ah, but friends, very often it is simply the Lord working out His providential purpose in conforming our life to His only begotten Son, His beloved Son. And that's why He has saved us. He wants us to be made like unto His Son. Do we need to pray, Lord, I need patience to do the will of God. I need to have faith with patience, and putting them both together and say, oh God, teach me that obedience that produces such a faith. Oh God, help me. We need to have ongoing obedience. What do we mean by that? Well, quite simply, an obedience that does not give up when things just don't go the way we would like. One thing that's certain about Abraham's walk is that this thing was not on the surface. What do we mean by that? Well, we know well that there can be some that say one thing, but they're relatively shallow in what is being said. There's no depth to it. It only has a very thin veneer. And once you peel the veneer off, now you get down to the real thing. But what Abram had, and what you and I need to aspire to, is not a surface obedience to the Lord. Not something that is just superficial. Not just what gives, well, telling people what they want to hear for the time, but then that's all there is to it. But you know what else? It was not in this ongoing obedience that he had. It was not forced. When you think about it, the two things can't work together. Because if it's forced, then it's really not from the heart, is it? So forced obedience, well, that's not what it was. It was willing obedience. It was from the heart. And when you come, and when I come as a Christian to give our hearts and our lives in totality to the Lord in that way, He has our soul. He has our mind. He has all of us. It is not something whereby your arm is being twisted up your back to do. No. It's you're saying, Lord, I love, and therefore I want to obey. And I want to keep the commandments of the Lord. And they're not grievous to me. They're not troublesome to me. I love the law of the Lord. David said, with my whole heart have I sought after Thee. Father, I want to do completely Your mind, Your heart. I don't want this to be a forced thing. And it was not also a pragmatic obedience. It wasn't just to get to a certain end that was pleasing or convenient to me. Pragmatism in dealing with the Lord's work is not a good habit. It's very bad, and certainly when we're dealing with the Lord, you can't bargain with God. And we cannot do those things which are only going to be evident for our own accomplishment, or maybe to satisfy what we think will be appeasing to the Lord. He sees right through us. Let's never forget that. He sees right through our motives. He knows us inside and out. That's when we come before God and we say, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting, my uprising. Everything about me, Lord. And therefore, no mask. Peel off the mask. No hypocrisy with the Lord. Let's pray that we will have an ongoing, faithful obedience to Him. Dr. H.T. Spence has written a commentary on the book of Hebrews, and he gives this paragraph, which I think is insightful. It says this: a lack of faith is the reason many Christians, though strong for a season, eventually give up. They have no continuing faith to build and maintain a consistent life for God. A driving faith continues working, studying, building, and preparing a life. Because we tend to see only the labor and agony of the present, we back off and relax. In spite of failures, in spite of coming short, we must keep going on in faith. Let us pursue the Lord. Let us continue with Him. Let us be going on with Him and never, never, never give up. So, If this faith is seen in its continuation, what does it look like in its conclusion? God promised to Abram an inheritance. He promised him that he would have this inheritance in a promised land. But you know the life of Abraham well from the account. He sojourned as a Bedouin. He sojourned in tents, and he did not dwell in any city in the land of Canaan where he was. He went the length and the breadth of the land, and of course you'll know the situation that happened between the herdsmen of Lot, who was with him, and Abram's herdsmen. The area where they were was a little bit too constrained for them, and there was some controversy between them, and so Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no controversy between us." He said, "Lot, you choose the land. If you want that way, I'll go that way." He said to Lot, "If you want that way, then I'll go that way. You make the choice." And so Abram, he made the choice toward the well-watered plains of Jordan. And it was toward the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not long before we learn of Lot that he is actually at the gate of the city of Sodom. He chose that which he thought was going to be the best for him, and it was disaster in his own life. And you know, when you think about what God promised to Abraham, and with this we close tonight, because look at what it says in verse 10. "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." This is what the Lord had promised to his servant Abram. And shortly after the division between Lot and him, God took Abram aside and he said, "Lift up your eyes now and look. North, south, east, west. As far as you can see, all this will I give to you." Never be concerned, don't worry, about when you think of surrendering or giving up something for God. He will give you bountifully much more, friend, as He has promised to us eternal life. And God has promised that we are going home to glory to be with Him. And He has prepared for us a home in heaven. Abraham looked for a city that had foundations. Who made the foundations of this city? It was a city that God had prepared, a city that the Lord had set the foundations that would never be moved for all eternity. Did you note the words that God was the builder and the maker? And sometimes you might think, well, what's the difference between those two things? The builder, the maker? Well, they are distinct because in the original, the word builder is the idea of the architect, the one who makes the planning. And the builder is the one who does the construction work. And so the Lord, from beginning to ending, He is the one who is the architect of the great city and home that we are going to inherit, every child of God. He is the one who has made it. And our hope is in Him. And our faith is in Him. And that's how that faith concludes. The faith of a child of God who is patiently waiting upon Him, who is trusting in God with all the heart and leaning not unto his own understanding. Could we dare to aspire to such a faith? Could we dare say to the Lord, "O God, grant to me the faith of an Abraham. Grant to me, Lord, the simplicity of relying on the word You've spoken." Because then, my friends, it does not depend upon you. It depends fully upon the Lord. That's where our faith must be anchored. Because Christ Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. God, the builder and maker of that eternal city. And so throughout the whole sojourn of Abram's life, one thing we cannot forget, my friend, this is a very important point. Abram received the promise from God of an inheritance. But you see, in this life, he never received the inheritance of that land. That was going to be given through and to his sons. And yet Abram was promised that, and he continued his whole life working, living, serving, because he knew and believed what God had told him. And his eyesight by faith was fixed to something that was greater, something that was beyond this life. And that is our hope, friend, if you are a child of God. But it may be you're here and you're not a believer. Why, you've never settled that matter with God. Friend, time is running out for you. For you do not know how many days, months, hours you have left. It is time to make your peace with God. It is time to call upon Him in simple, childlike faith. Because when you call, the Lord will hear. And He will answer, and He will save your soul for time and for all eternity. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our service will soon be over. Has the Lord spoken to your heart tonight? Friend, are you still without the Savior? His loving arms are open tonight to receive you. This is a most personal thing, you know. No one else can believe for you. It's between you and the Lord now, right now. And it's time. Time to seek Him. Time to call on Him. Before it is forever too late. Oh, Father, please use this word tonight to speak to every heart. Human words, Lord, are so empty, so powerless. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work. Lord, create in us a hunger and thirst after righteousness, I pray. Create in the heart of every child of God an unquestioning obedience, that we would have and see how this faith can be produced in our life. Oh Lord, hear our prayers now. Separate us in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.